How are we going? You are very quiet. Alex was right. We are quiet, so I hope it's a good quietness. I hope you are not carrying burdens that you should not carry. This morning, I'm going to take us through the last parable that Jesus gave. And there's something always about the last things, isn't it? So that means you are coming out of the series of the parables, isn't it? And so now even there will be a great emphasis on the fact that have you been remembering? Have you been aware of what Jesus was really telling us in all these parables? So this is the last parable, and the parables, last of the parables, and also he will give us a summary of what really he meant when he was telling these parables. And this parable is the parable of the net. And so I have on the screen that this is my story. So I like you to put up on the screen if you have the service sheet, like this picture that we had earlier of the net, so that it will give us a good idea. Oh, it's behind me, so not before me. So the world behind me is Jesus before me. Okay, so Jesus, in his ministry, he uses really simple stories to give us a spiritual, really understanding of the kingdom of God in this particular situation. So Jesus is just using simple stories, because stories, they are stories, but Jesus tells them to tell us spiritual, really lessons that will save us from sin and from Satan and from lack of understanding of what is going on. So here, Jesus, we had different parables, but and you have the parable of the weeds and the wheat, and then you have the treasure and the pearl. And so I don't have to go over them. I think you were paying attention when I was preaching and Michael was preaching. So I want to focus today on this parable of the net. Jesus obviously using the net to tell us that the kingdom of Jesus Christ is like a net. You see, that is what we read in verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. So when Jesus was coming into this world, he was bringing a kingdom of God, isn't it? He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And all that he was doing, he was just inviting us and people of his time and us in our day that we are to enter into this kingdom. We are not to perish in our sins. We are to repent of our sins and accept Jesus Christ, the one who is the king of his kingdom. And this kingdom brings God rules on earth in form of God coming and reigning by putting his words into our hearts and filling us with the Holy Spirit and giving us a new worldview on how to live here on earth as his followers. And then there's the kingdom of God, God ruling over us like he had in the past. His kingdom with the Israel, you see that he gave them his word and he poured out his Holy Spirit over the prophets and then to teach his own people how to walk with God and to receive all the blessings. And exactly the new covenant here we have, the kingdom of Jesus Christ is doing the same, the very same thing, but in a glorious way, where the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, where we are given the ability to overcome Satan and sin and to live as righteous people here on earth, something we could not have done in any other way apart from entering into this kingdom of Jesus Christ and having his Holy Spirit coming. And so he's saying this, when the kingdom comes, and then it will be like a net that will be spread, and then will catch people, you see, because here it's talking about people, not fish, but he's using this analogy, something like that. The kingdom of God will reach many people, and many people, there will be all kind of people, you see. And so some other people, they take it as to mean from every tribe and tongues, you see. And it's not talking, and I believe it's true, because it's not talking about type of Christians, you see, because you are a Christian, you are a Christian. There is no bad Christian and good Christians. You might be weak, but if you ask the Lord, he can strengthen you. A Christian is Christian. But here, he's saying all kind of people. There will be people who will come to the to associate themselves with the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But we will be surprised that later on, not many people will make it into, on the final day of judgment, will be truly Christians. And that is what he's saying. And today, what this parable is doing is encouraging us really to think carefully on whether we have come to know Jesus personally and have a relationship with him, and that we can say that we have come to know him. And that is, I don't want to go ahead of myself. And so this is what is going to happen. He said, like, as the net will catch many fish, all kind of fish, so it will be like that. And he says this in the following part of the verse. When it was full, so the fishermen will just spread the net, and when the net is full, the fishermen will pull it up on the shore from the sea, from the river, from the lake, and then they will bring it out. You see, so now it's coming to the time of judgment. So it's a straight, it's a very short parable. Say, like, when, like, the fishermen will do this, when they catch, when they caught fish, they will pull it out to the shore, and then they sat down and collected the good fish in basket, but throw the bad away. So I'd like to draw your attention into this. So the fishermen, they will just catch, and then they go out and they sit down. Even, you see, in the Bible, there is a full of sitting down, isn't it? And so when you see something like this, seeing people sitting down, here is a picture of judgment, actually. These are people who are sitting to judge. So they sit down, and now they go through the net, and then they start really to separate, to collect the good fish in basket. They collect the good to the basket, but throw the bad away. And so here Jesus is saying, and he will explain this soon, verse 49. As the fishermen will just sit down as a picture of judgment, and that is what will happen in the judgment day. And those who will judge will sit down. This is how it will be at the end of the age. And so he's giving out this picture now here to warn us of the what is going to come in the future, isn't it? So this is what I love about God. God does not surprise us always. He speaks to us tenderly. And even in this text, really, so gracious, Jesus is saying, hey, take time to study before the exam, isn't it? Just don't stress out. There is grace. If you didn't get it right before, you have the opportunity right now to do it. You don't have to wait for that time. You need to consider to commit yourself to Jesus fully right now. And you don't have to wait, because when the time is up, and then those who will judge will sit down on their seats to judge, you will be safe. Because the grace is here. God is a God of mercy. It's God who desires to save. It's not a God who wants just to judge us and to destroy us. He has created us for a purpose. And he has recreated us again in Christ for a purpose. Because he doesn't want us to perish. He wants us to have eternal life. He wants us to have the blessings that is there for God's children. And the protection and the covering of the blood of Jesus. So we are not to wait like that. Because here we are given a picture of the nature of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Like really many will hear the gospel. But there will be some people who will be not really in the kingdom. They will be like the bad fish. They say it's spoiled. The fish that was not wanted. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angel will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. And here the separation is not a nice word in the original language. There is a sense of judgment in that. You will be taken away to be thrown into hell. So it's a forceful action of God. But people have the opportunity to be the good one. Because no one is good. But those who have committed themselves to Christ and have accepted him, they have been made good, isn't it? Qualified to enter into the kingdom of God, and they will not be thrown into hell, into the fire. Because that is what is going to happen. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. So here the difference here in the first part. What did the fishermen did first? They sat down and collected the good first. But here the opposite. On the day of judgment, the wrath of God will be against those who didn't accept Christ. And that is why they were the very people that will be dealt with. This is a good order. God is a God of order. Because he has given us all the opportunity, equal opportunities. You have heard of the equal opportunities, isn't it? The government section of how to manage really people and jobs and things like that, equal opportunities. You see, so everybody is given a fair go. A fair go to assess your situation, and you see yourself, you are far from the Lord, and you still insist of living your own way. Forgetting that there is a day of reckoning. Jesus here tells this story, and it is incredible how he finished all his parable with this very particular parables. As if he's saying, look, I have been doing this, all these parables, to prepare you to this, and so that you know there will be a time where things will be terrible. And you know, he waits. So all these things are pushed to the day of judgment. And you see in the parable of the wheat and the weeds, that he said, wait until the day of judgment, isn't it? We are not to do anything, not to judge anyone. But all that we want to do is to persuade people that there will be judgment, isn't it? And the Lord is so gracious to forgive you, to strengthen you, and to encourage you in your walk with him, and to open doors before you so that you know his blessings. So the order here is so clear. In the example of the fish, the good will be collected first. You see? Because that is what the Lord is doing. He wants us to believe in the first place, isn't it? Like the fishermen, when they go fishing, their intention is to fish the good fish, isn't it? No one would want to go and want to catch the bad fish. You will be a terrible fisherman or fisherwoman. Or fisherman, if we can call you fisherman. But the true a fisherman would just go after the good fish, like Jesus Christ as a good fisherman. That is why he called his disciples to be fishers of men, to bring them to the kingdom. He didn't send them to go and judge people. You see, he wants them to go and call them to repentance and to salvation. So to catch good fish. You see, he didn't want them to just to catch the natural fish. No, that was not what he wanted them to do. And especially even in our day to day also, all that we are persuading you to do is to believe in Christ. But the warning is that there will be a day of judgment. You have the opportunity right now to put things right with Christ. And if you are struggling with anything that is stopping you, the Lord has the power to remove that. He does that. Even if the thoughts of fear of anything, that will move you from secure position. Because I have met a lot of people, especially many years ago, I met a man who lost his faith. And I said, were you a Christian? And he said, yeah, I was a Christian, but I lost my faith when my wife passed away. So the Lord doesn't want us to lose our faith when things are bad and are not good. Because no one can snatch us from his hand. Well, the last week I was struggling so much. So suddenly, I don't know whether it's the weather or something. And I was just like, my blood pressure was just up and down. And so, and I don't understand that area, especially what really you don't understand the readings. If you just have like 106 or 105, you may think, oh, something terrible is happening, isn't it? Or especially like your heart's pulse were just like low, like mine. So everything was just going ups and downs. You see, and I was just so confused and rattled a little bit. And I said, what is going on? And you see, sometimes some of us, they have this sense of enduring everything and then to the last minute. So you persevere and say, oh no, I don't want to be a hero, you see. Maybe I want to seek a medical thing. So I was just checking, monitoring. And it was just like, oh, my mind was just like, oh, it was just so terrible. So on Friday night, so things were not settling. So I went to the emergency 10:30, and so I was discharged around 1:30 or 2 a.m. On Saturday morning. And so all that they did, they put all the things out on my heart. And then a girl, she's a Pakistani who trained in England. She got like British accent. So she really took good care of me. So all the result was perfect. Nothing was wrong. The blood test also came back just so perfect. But here I am. Really, but the good thing, like I sent messages to my friends and they were praying even this morning, and some of my friends texted me, I hope you are well and ready to preach your sermons. So I'm preaching tonight as well. See, even these things can make you really doubt the fact that whether you are saved or you are not saved, or you are a Christian, God cares for you or not. And then you say, oh, if you feel it's not working, I'm done, going away. And then you will be like, on the day of judgment, that means really you didn't put your trust in the Lord. You have not come to believe him. Because the Bible says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So even death itself cannot separate us. But Jesus says, as the fishermen would just go and fish and catch all kinds, and will just come sit down like the angels in the last days will judge. Even actually in Matthew 19, Jesus speaks also about how righteous men and people of God will come together and also will judge also the world. I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, that is on the judgment day, the final day, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You see? So even the Christians themselves, they will be sitting on on the thrones, before the throne of God. And so, here Jesus is saying, this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angel will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be gnashing, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so this is a terrible picture of the judgment day, the hell that we water down in our days today. And so there is no urgency to preach the gospel so that people are saved and they are not going to hell and to be tortured there. When the righteous will not be weeping, you remember, the kingdom of God. On that day, there will be no weeping. There will be no gnashing of tears. There will be joy and joy unspeakable. And Jesus wanted us to understand this. This is the question he followed. He said, have you understood all these things? Jesus said, have you understood these things? Have you comprehended these things? Have you considered this carefully, that this is how things are going to look like? And yes, they replied. And I pray that this will be also our response. Yes, we want to be the good fish. I want to live for Christ. I want to stay away from sins. I want to honor him. And I want to present myself to him. So on that day, I will not be on the other side. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Do you know, like for the preachers, sometimes we come across a text that you all know by heart. And this is what we call here all treasures, isn't it? All treasures. Something we are familiar with. Even the sermon I'm giving you this morning, you are familiar with. But what is the revelation in this? The new things in this? That a person who has been taught the scriptures, like to bring out to you as new. Because we are called to remind you of the old things. And then also to bring you fresh things through the Spirit of God. So this morning you may ask yourself, am I really a believer? And this is what Jesus is saying. All the other thing you say, have I really understood the parables and what they do? And this is not a head knowledge. It's an awareness that there is something so serious here that Christ is pressing on my heart. And if you are a believer and you say, yes, I understood this thing, what are you doing now? And to the 10 years to come, or even to tomorrow, to after tomorrow, will you be holding to him? Will you be fighting against the temptations? So that when you come on that day, the Lord will say, my faithful servant, you have fought the good fight of faith. That was what Apostle Paul was saying, isn't it? He believed, he met the Lord himself personally, and then also he kept, you see, in the dangers and also in the good times. He did that. And so here we are reminding you of the old things and good things. The other thing also, when they said the good fish in baskets. You see, but I don't want to make a lot of things out of this basket. Basket is normally is a container. But it comes to us many times as baskets, you see. And so just to keep the good one, to carry them away. But also, you know, Apostle Paul was lower in a basket or through a wall, isn't it? And so it's not just only to carry as a container, but also to protect, isn't it? To protect. You see, the bad fish were just thrown into the open, isn't it? But the good ones are kept. I don't want to do allegory, but actually there is a lot of care here. From the Lord, isn't it? So the as the fishermen will take care of the good fish. The good Lord also he takes care of us. You see, And so we are not just thrown just like into the unknown or just left into our own devices. We are in the hands of a good master himself. You see, because we have become good fish. We have become his own. And he cares for us. And we are preserved for a kingdom that we inherit. See the difference? Now, the unbelievers, they are not cared for. They are thrown away. Not only just into the open, but also into hell, into the fire. Have you understood this? And Jesus would ask this, because all these things depends on you realizing this and accepting this, saying, yes, amen. That is why he followed with these questions. Have you understood this? As a good teacher, he will do this always. He will not just teach a lesson and will not give you an examination. And this is a good opportunity for us, through the work of the Holy Spirit, to examine ourselves. Jesus is not talking about whether your faith is struggling, or you have a small faith or big faith. This is not what he's talking about. He's talking about whether you truly gave your life to Jesus. And if not, even this morning, you have the opportunity to give your life to Christ and to say, I want to follow you, Jesus, so that you will avoid the judgment that is there, that is coming. And so what is the new things here by the Holy Spirit? So this text, so are you aware that you have been cared for? Are you aware that the Lord is caring for you as someone who has come to faith? Are you a good fish? These are the questions I want to ask you. Do you know that there is a judgment day? God will not leave things like this. The angels, the Lord will appear in his glory with his angelic host to come and do the separation. And the very first people that the Lord will go after, there will be those who didn't believe in him. That is the order of the text. Those who didn't come and put their trust in him. And that is the work of, and you also, even in your own homes. Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storerooms. We are to have our own storerooms, to think of the great things that the Lord has taught us, and to be reminded that there will be a day of reckonings. And the parable of the net tells us about the nature of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, so that we are not alarmed when we see people who are not really following Jesus. Even there are many of them, even though are associated with the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, even leaders within the Christian movement, you have heard this, people who were led big congregation, and yet they didn't have the personal relationship with Christ. And don't be surprised that they will be on the other side. They will be in hell. That is why it is so important. Because God is not a respecter of man. He is a God of all truth. He wants us to receive the truth. So this is a good place to end the parables with. And so that in the view of the judgment that is to come, and also the opportunity that is there for us as believers, not only for ourselves, even for the people that we know that have not come to true faith. So we are to pray for them and to persuade them and to encourage them to commit their life to the Lord. Because the day of the judgment will be so terrible. And the very people that will be really sought after in the first place will be those who didn't love Jesus sincerely. Do you love Jesus? Have you committed your life to him? Do you live as a Christian? Do you follow him? Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? Is the Word of God central in your life? What is the Westminster Confession says? The Word of God? The rule for life and faith, isn't it? So is the Word of God central in our lives? Is what dictates to us how we live and how we handle our affairs and other people's affairs? That is the nature of a believer. So if you believe in Christ and you are going to be among those who will inherit the kingdom of God, you are to check yourself right now. The opportunity is there. As I shared with the kids in the earlier, that even you may need to do this near at the side of your bed or your bedside and kneel down and just pray if you have not committed your life to Christ. And if you are struggling, wavering between the two camps, you need to make a decision to be on one side, because you cannot be in two places at the same time, because the result will be terrible at that day. Let me pray.